Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Panama, pivoting between the U.S. and China. Panamanian government decided to ditch Taipei and recognize Beijing as a legitimate Chinese government just a week before President Varela meets with his American counterpart. Trump's Muslim ban. Does it have a future? President Trump's controversial but temporary travel restrictions were struck down by yet another appeals court in the latest challenge to what his opponents call the Muslim ban. And also, North Korea, basketball, and missiles. Dennis Rodman set out for North Korea to conduct some more of his basketball diplomacy, while the Hermit Kingdom proceeds unabated in testing its missile technology. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is how Panama's trying to pivot between the U.S. and China. The Panamanian government decided to ditch Taipei and recognize Beijing as a legitimate Chinese government just a week before President Varela meets with his American counterpart. The announcement caught a lot of observers off guard because the Central American country has long been regarded as being firmly under American influence, which explains why it sided with Taiwan for decades, just like most of its regional neighbors. Nevertheless, China's magnetic economic pull has finally brought forth diplomatic dividends for Beijing, as the People's Republic is the second biggest user of the Panama Canal and a key partner for the Latin American country. The reason why Panama's decision is so important in the grand scheme of things is that only 20 countries recognize Taipei as a legitimate Chinese government, and 11 of them are in the Western Hemisphere. This has prompted some experts such as Jai Yang Chong, an associate professor with the National University of Singapore who specializes in Asia-Pacific relations, to warn that there may be a domino effect in terms of derecognition, which would be devastating for the legitimacy of the unilaterally proclaimed entity. At the same time, however, Panama is still one of the U.S.'s closest partners anywhere in the world, and there's no way that Washington would ever allow it to fully pivot towards China in any game-changing way. Recognizing Beijing, as the U.S. already did decades ago, is one thing, but cooperating with it in any manner which could potentially shift the balance of power in Latin America away from Washington and towards its Chinese rival is bound to be opposed, though Panama City doesn't appear to have any such intentions. In fact, President Varela's upcoming meeting with President Trump on the 19th of June is expected to deepen their two countries' partnership by focusing on the shared threats of transnational organized crime, illegal migration, and illegal substances. Moreover, the White House website also reports that they'll discuss how to counter democratic backsliding in Venezuela, as the U.S. puts it. What this means is that Panama is still firmly on the U.S. side, but that this hasn't stopped its leadership from making pragmatic and long overdue outreaches to China. The example that Panama is setting holds the potential of being emulated all throughout the region, especially among the 11 holdout states which still recognize Taipei. So it's important to discuss the political implications of Panama City's latest decision and assess the state of Chinese strategy in Latin America more broadly. So folks, starting off this conversation today, we're joined by Mr. Fernando Martinez. He's an independent news analyst located in the Dominican Republic. Hi, Fernando.
Trendstorm.
How do you expect that Panama's decision to recognize Beijing will impact on its relationship with Washington? And what sort of reaction do you think Trump will share with his counterpart when he comes to D.C. next week?
Well, we have to remember that the president of Panama, Varela, he is a Panamanian, a sort of Panamanian Trump. He wants Panama for Panamanians. He's part of a Panamixed up party, which states in their credo that they want Panama to be for Panamanians only. But so he's a nationalist at heart. So the current junction, this will make Washington more willing to give Panama a lot more leeway, because Trump is going to smother Varela with a lot of love. He's already handed Varela Martinelli, the ex-president. Martinelli was seeking asylum in the USA, and Martinelli is a neoliberal, and he pretty much was lockstep with Obama, Clinton. He was part of that whole cabal. So this will definitely be a case of keeping your friends closer, at least, And Washington at this juncture also, they have nothing to offer Panama, nothing. There is no more money to offer. Washington has cut the funds, and the canal is more important than ever because of China's rise. So who's who more now? I think it's more of the United States needing Panama more than Panama needing the United States, believe it or not. And Obama already attempted to shake or destabilize Panama with the Panama Papers scandal, and that went nowhere. So Panama being Dubai or the Hong Kong of the Caribbean, they are in a great position right now. So Panama, with regards to this whole China thing, it's almost like a mini coup d'etat.
All right, well, Panama's move indicates that it's impossible for any country, no matter how historically close with the U.S., to avoid dealing with China. So what does this say about the changing geostrategic calculus of the Latin American countries in general vis-a-vis these two great powers?
Trump, for good or ill, I mean, he really means it when he says America first. He cut the USA, the U.S. aid, NGO, foreign aid slush fund. So all their operatives that the USA has in Latin America are pretty much starving. They have had their funds cut. So that is going to affect the USA soft power in Latin America, especially in the Caribbean. Trump announced also that he's tightening his Cuba policy. Due to this, and also due to the quasi-civil war between Trump, not Republicans and the Democrats, but between Trump and the deep state, the Democrats, and so forth, because of the disruption, Trump's administration is pretty much distracted, and they're overwhelmed. So all of Central America and the Caribbean, they're in play right now. There is going to be a scramble between the powers. But we have to remember also that the Chinese, whenever they approach things, it's a slow and gradual process. I mean, here in the Dominican Republic, the Chinese presence is growing. But it's quiet. It's not like in your face. Their Spanish is perfect. Their businesses are growing. This is something that's just developing before our eyes, but it's in a quiet way. And Panama, I guess, to be a special case in point. They can afford to navigate the waves and the ups and downs of the great power conundrums because of their diversification of their economy and their small population.
All right, Fernando. Well, the last thing I want to ask you then is, how do you foresee the rivalry between the U.S. and China unfolding all across the Western Hemisphere in the coming decade? And what factors could Beijing leverage in order to boost its position relative to Washington?
Well, Beijing right now has the money, and they seem to have an endless supply of it. Plus, like I said, the Chinese prefer the slow, quiet, gradual approach. And it's moving hundreds of their people, of their citizens, to Latin America, whether it's by default or it's by design. Their citizens are spreading businesses, and their children are becoming bilingual. So these Hispanic bilingual Chinese Latin Americans will shift Latin America towards Asia, towards Beijing. The music, the food, the films, they will all be absorbed by China. And in that unique Chinese manner in which they have transforming things. And due to the constant need for raw materials from Latin America, they will continue to be a growing market for this area. So the influence will be unparalleled and unimaginable because the USA, while it's an unmovable object, China is an unstoppable force. So Latin America is also tired of Washington. It's also tired of its constant meddling, of its capriciousness, of its chaotic neoliberal interventionist agenda. Chinese influence will be a fresh air to the masses of Latin America. While the elites may not like it because of their affinity for all things American and European, the masses themselves, they will definitely enjoy the benefits of continued Chinese influence throughout the hemisphere. And also, if we look to certain articles in Asia Times, they're mentioning that there's a new world order coming where the nations is rising again. There was an article not too long ago where John Metzler and also some other writers, they're talking about how the situation with Panama is just isolating more and more Taiwan, but it's not just isolating Taiwan, it's also isolating Washington, because what's happening is that Latin American nations, they will use the USA similar to what the Vietnamese and the Filipinos do with the USA, with China, with regard to China. They use it as a leverage in order to keep China at bay within the Asia hemisphere, but they don't want the USA to be involved in their countries like they are in Japan or Korea. I don't know if that gives you a better picture.
All right, Fernando. Well, thanks a lot for shedding insight into this very important topic. I appreciate it.
Trendstorm.
Now we're going to swing over to South America and hear what Mr. Sebastian Tiapi has to say. He's an international political analyst from Argentina. All right, Sebastian, what's behind Panama shifting recognition from Taipei to Beijing, and how likely do you think it is that this decision could trigger a chain reaction of derecognitions in Latin America?
I think it was about time for Panama to do this shift. After all, they've been having commercial relations with Beijing for a long time. China, the popular China, is the second greatest user of the canal and is the main supplier of the Colón Free Trade Zone. So it was just a matter of time. I mean, Taiwan has always had a special relationship with Central America. They've been generous in donations and all kind of gifts to their region in order to keep their recognition. The numbers just doesn't add up today. I mean, the investment China is doing is far more important. I think today China is investing in a new port in the canal with LNG terminals. I don't know if it will start a new chain of reaction in other countries, but Nicaragua is in a very similar position. China is investing in the Nicaragua channel, and they are already having very good trade relations. Paraguay has also a big amount of trade, you know, with soybean and that kind of stuff. So, yes, it all depends on how much China wants to do that, to pressure them into changing their relations.
Well, if we look at Panama, you know, its geostrategic position is crucial, both because of its namesake, Interoceanic Canal, and the fact that it's smack dab in the center of the Western Hemisphere. So, in light of its dramatic decision to recognize Beijing, what role do you foresee Panama playing in the new Cold War between China and the U.S.?
I think China is, you know, with its Belt and Road Initiative, they are trying to secure their trading routes. So Panama and Nicaragua, with its new channel that they are building, they are key components of that trade route. So, yes, there will be some competition with the United States, because the United States sees the Caribbean as their natural area of interest. I mean, China is the future for the region, for all of Latin America. The investment the Chinese make, practically no political conditions, which is the big difference with the United States. So it's natural that many countries are starting to open up to Chinese investment and their influence.
Okay, well, if we proceed from there, what are the odds that Panama's new approach to rebalancing its ties with China and the U.S. could become a model for the rest of Central America and the Caribbean?
Yes, as I was saying, it will be a model for Nicaragua. I don't know how many of the other countries will follow, because the other countries are much smaller and not of the same interest for China. I mean, Dominican Republic, Haiti, St. Kitts and Nevis, they are small islands, or Belize, they are just too small countries for China to care enough if they switch their diplomatic recognition or not. Only Nicaragua and Paraguay are big enough, I mean, for China to invest in them in order to do that switch. And I think that it will become a model if they actually want. I mean, Nicaragua might be interested in looking for a counterbalance to the U.S., but I don't think Paraguay will be much interested because of their local government and international position.
All righty, Sebastian. Well, thanks a lot for this comprehensive overview. I really appreciated you coming on my program.
Trendstorm.
So, folks, if we put together what both Fernando and Sebastian share with us today, we can see that what Panama did, it's not necessarily game-changing, but it is a move in the right direction for the rest of the hemisphere. This doesn't mean that the 11 other holdout states in this part of the world will follow its lead, but there is a chance when it comes to Nicaragua. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, China's economic force in Central America and the Caribbean is undeniable, and this is definitely going to create complications for the U.S. in the long run. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.